Well, good evening. I am very excited, more excited than the first time. First time I got up here, I was a lot more nervous. Still nervous at the moment, but there's a lot more excitement this time. I was eager to get up here again, and I'm very honored to be up here tonight. Thank you, Brother Doug and everyone. We've been talking about men of faith, and I was given Gideon, or I chose Gideon, rather, to speak on tonight. And the first passage that I'm going to read is Hebrews 11, verses 32. And if you'd like to turn there and stand up and read, let me turn there too. Actually. And it says, "What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, also of David, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of aliens." Let us pray. Father, thank you for giving me the opportunity to get up here and speak your word. And I just pray that you calm me and just help me speak fluently and without stuttering too much. And Lord, just be with this message. And I just pray whoever is out here, there's a reason you've given me to speak this. And I just pray that I present it in a way that it touches them, Lord. And just, again, thank you for everything you do. In your holy name, amen. Again, like I said, we've been talking about men of faith, and the men mentioned earlier on in that earlier on in Hebrews, all throughout Hebrews 11, are great men of faith. And like I said, I get to talk about Gideon. I was really excited. I got to dive into this guy's past and got to figure out as much about him as I could. And just a little brief summary on Gideon. He was the son of Joash. He led an army of 300 against an army of 135,000. He liked to request a lot of signs from God. He had 71 sons. He led Israel into 40 years of peace. And after the fight with the Midianites, they actually begged him to be their king, where he in turn declined. He said, "No, guys, I didn't do this. This is God. You need to be looking for him for guidance, for him to be your ruler. Look for him to be your king. Seek him." Which, you know, it's just funny to me that they thought he was the one who did it, when that was God's purpose all along, was to show them, no, you can't do this. And the title of my message is, God uses a little to accomplish a lot. Another little bit about Gideon was that he was from the lowest tribe, the Abizarites. My pronunciation's a little bit not all there. Anyway, God, the Israelites had been were under Midianite rule for about 7 years, and they cried out to God, and he finally answered. He went to Gideon, and he said, "You're going to deliver them." And Gideon's like, "Me? Surely not." He called him a man of valor, and Gideon's like, "Who are you talking about? There's no one here. I'm here." And he's like, "I am of the lowest tribe. But not only am I of the lowest tribe, I am the least in my house." And this is where it's starting. You kind of see God, what God's trying to do here. He's already starting to make it to where there's no doubt in whoever's mind that he's the one who did this. He went to the lowest tribe, the least of a person's house. So he is the lowest of the low, or among the lowest of the low. The first point I have is there is a call to arms. In Judges 6, verses 32, it says, I'm in Judges 11, that's what we talked about this morning. Judges 6, 32 says, "Therefore, on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, 'Let Baal plead against him, because he has torn down his altar.' Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east gathered together, and they crossed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, Then he blew the trumpet, and the Abiezrites gathered behind him, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also gathered behind him. He also sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, and they came up to meet him, or they came up to meet them. Right before this, God had commanded Gideon, go destroy the altar of Baal in the town. Baal was one of the main gods that the Midianites worshipped. And God's like, go tear that down. Like I said, Gideon likes requesting signs. And he wanted to make sure this was exactly what God was wanting him to do. So he asked for a sign. And sure enough, that's what God wanted him to do. He wanted him to do what he told him to do. So he goes, he tears down the altar. And he burns a cow, and he sacrifices a cow to the Lord. And in the morning, the people of the town that he was in, they come up and they see this, and they're furious. They just destroyed something that represented the highest gods that the Midianites had. They were ready to kill Gideon. His dad steps in, he's like, whoa, all right, calm down. If Baal, being a supposed god, let him defend himself. Let him come and speak on his own behalf. We know that didn't happen. We know Baal is nothing more than an idol. But Gideon did as he was commanded. But this really infuriated the Midianites. And God knew this would happen. So they got their army together and they were ready to go in and wipe out the Israelites. They were ready to go in and just take them all out. Well, Gideon had his own call to arms. He sent out messengers all throughout the land, the surrounding land, and everyone came. Like he got an army built up. he had tribes from Manasseh, Asher, Zebulun, or he sent had people from the land of Manasseh and the tribes of Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, his own tribe, and they got an army together of about 32,000. Well, we also have our own call to arms that God has called us to do. We have a war, and it's a heck of a war. We have one of the worst enemy, Satan, and we have to fight sin. And that's something I fail at daily. Sadly, I struggle with that. We all struggle with that. We're all sinners. But that's what God's called us to do. He's called us as Christians to go out and fight. He put on the armor of the Lord and go out and be warriors for Christ. And our mission as warriors for Christ is to go out into the world and show the love of Christ. Show them that there's something more to this life that we have. It's not just day-to-day, mundane, drive your car, go to work, just make money, pay bills, and die. There's more to it. Go out, love people. And we're called to be different so that when people who don't know Christ see us, they see something different. They're curious. They're like, what's up with this guy? What's up with him? And they're implored to go and ask us, what's wrong? What's different about you? Why are you just happy? Why are you so happy all the time? And that's where we get the opportunity to tell them, you know, I know Christ. My Savior died and he's alive again. And that just opens up opportunities for us to spread Christ, and so they can have the relationship with Christ, so they can go on and tell more people about Christ. And the second point, I'm getting back on Gideon now, is God calling for trust in him. Like in any relationship, trust is probably one of the biggest things in there. And our relationship with God is the most important relationship that we will ever have. So trust in God. Trust being one of the key aspects of any relationship, and in the most important relationship that we will ever have, is a really big thing. We need to trust God. Well, in Judges 7, 2 through 7, it says, "And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many." 32,000 is what they had. "They are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hands. Lest Israel claims glory for itself against me, saying, my own hands have saved me. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 people returned, and 10,000 remained." But the Lord said to Gideon, "People are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And whoever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go." So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone who laps the water from his with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, whoever gets down on his knees to drink, in the number of those who lap putting their hand to their mouth was 300 men, but the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, "By the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let the other people go, and every man to his own place." And I sitting here thinking, I just kind of try to imagine Gideon and how he was reacting. We have him in records as a man of faith. And I was trying to put myself in his own shoes and how I would react. And I'm just thinking that I see the Midianite army of 135,000. They're numbered like the lotus. And we've got 32,000. That's a roughly 4-to-1 odds. That's not great. But if you had a good general, it would be doable. And they did. They had the best general. But there's a reason. God knows how we are. He calls Israel out on it. "I don't want you thinking that you did this." So he told Gideon, "All right, you have too many." And Gideon, he's like, "All right, I trust you. You're God. You've done all these wonderful miracles. I trust you. You're gonna deliver us from the Midianites." So he tells them, "If you're scared, go home." And I mean, as a soldier, I mean, if I'm gonna be scared, I'm gonna be really excited if I get to go home. And it says that they're left 22,000, and they were left with 10,000. So 10,000 now stand against 135,000. And Gideon's over there. He's like, "You know what? I'm all right with this. We got 10,000. We can do this." And he's getting ready. He's getting everyone ready, and they're getting out ready to go. And then God says, "You know what, Gideon? No. You still have too many. Here, I'm gonna separate. I'm gonna split them up for you." So they do the whole water thing, drinking, get a cup with their mouths, and they get on their hands and knees and drain the water, and they split up 9,700 and 300. Gideon, I just kind of imagine this. This is just me thinking. I just kind of saw him strolling over, getting ready to go to the 9,700, because that's where he would have thought that God's going to take the people and save Israel. He gets over there, and God's like, "Whoa, what are you doing? No. See those 300 over there? That's who I'm going to save Israel with." And I just kind of, and I'm thinking, if I was in Gideon's shoes, I'd be thinking, "You know what? All right, God. I trust you. You say you're going to save us. Me personally, I feel that that's the better choice. But if you say we just need 300, all right." And he goes over to the 9,700. He says, "Guys, you know what? God says we're going to use these guys. Y'all can go home." So he goes over there, and he gets with the, it's the 300 plus Gideon. And from them, Gideon has the faith and the trust in God that he's going to do what he said he was going to do. We also need to trust God. And as God pointed out, he said he did this so there wouldn't be any doubt as to who was saving the Israelites, delivering them from the Midianites' hands. And he does this with our own lives. And we fall victim of waiting for what we believe is the most opportune moment, whereas that might be the worst. That might be the worst moment, the worst choice that we could be doing if we're not seeking God. And to us, it, like I said, it could look like the best choice. That would be the most logical choice. Whereas God sees the whole picture. He knows what's the most logical choice. He knew what was best all around. Yes, he could have very easily went with 32,000 and wiped out the Midianite army. But that wouldn't have been good for Israel, because they would have thought, "Hey, we did this. We don't need God." And they would have just fell right back into where they were at. They wouldn't have gotten blessings from it. They wouldn't have been close to God. And that's what he wants. He wants us to be close to him. He's our Father. And God didn't do this, and this is kind of an opinion that some people have nowadays, is that God's very egotistical. He didn't do this to feed an ego. No, not at all. He did this because he knows what's best. He's our Father. He loves us so much that he would be willing to do anything, whatever it cost. He sent his Son to die for us. That's how much he loved us. And he's our Father, and he's going to do anything because he can do anything. And he wants us to he showed us this, and he showed us this all throughout this book, that he can do anything. And he will do anything to help us, as long as we have faith in him and we trust him in the little things and in the big things. The third point, the main point, God doing a lot with a little. In Judges 17 through 22, it reads, "He said to them, 'Look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come down to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpet on every side of the camp, and say, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." So Gideon and the 300 men, and the 100 men, my bad, who were with him, came to the outposts of camp, and at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hand and the trumpets in their right for blowing. And they cried out, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army ran and cried out and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. And the army fled to Beth Acacia toward Zerera, as far as the border of Abel Meloah and Tabith. Earlier on, it talks about, and in chapter 7, it talks about how Gideon went close to the camp and was kind of scouting it out. And he hears, overhears some Midianites talking. One's describing a dream that he had. It talks about how he had this weird, bizarre dream about how a loaf of bread rolled into the camp. And it tore down a tent. And his friend who was with him, he's like, "Surely enough, this is Gideon, son of Joash, an Israelite. And the Lord has delivered Midian into their hands." They knew Gideon by name and by his father, and that he was an Israelite. They were on edge. They were already scared. A lot of them knew what was coming. So when Gideon got his 300 all around the camp, and then all the jars broke, all the torches were lit, they appeared that they were surrounded. They were. But they outnumbered them vastly. But the fact that they were so scared that they knew Gideon was coming for them. They knew the Lord was going to deliver Midian into the hands of the Israelites. As soon as the trumpet sounded, they turned on each other. They killed each other. It says that 122,000 people died that night. They killed, from what I've read, Israelite didn't throw a single blow. They all killed each other because they were so on edge. And because God knew, God had let them know. He had set the events into motion to let them know they weren't going to be ruling over Israel much longer. It's the same with us. God can easily do so much with the least of us. And even though Gideon was immensely outnumbered and outmatched, he had faith in God, and he trusted God that he was going to do what he said. And with 300, God gave Gideon the wisdom and power to defeat the 135,000 army. Throughout the little bit rest of Judges about Gideon, they chase the rest of the Midianites and the princes, and they kill them, and they get them out of there. God wants us to have that kind of faith. And that's what we're studying, the men of faith. The reason we're studying them, so we can see examples of how these men were, so we can take and apply it to our own lives, and so that we can have the same kind of faith. There are wonderful blessings that have happened through all the men that are mentioned in Hebrews 11. they had remarkable faith, and like I said, they were blessed immensely. God wants the same for us. We are his sons and daughters, and he loves us. There's nothing greater than a father's love for his children and the amount of care and joy that he wants them to have. And I just find it really funny and interesting that, like I said, Israelites still beg Gideon to be their king and to rule over them after everything that he... There's no doubt that Gideon didn't do that. He was the least of his tribe. And of that, it was only 300 men. Gideon didn't do this. God did it. And that's what we need. We need to have the faith in God, have the trust in God, to let him use us. Even if we feel like we're the least of the least, he can use you in miraculous ways.